You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Low mental app.
You know, for like the last 3 weeks when you've started the intro, I get this panicky like, wait, I have to say something. What do I have to say? It's my own name.
I thought you were worried about whether, I thought you were being like, I'm worried that I'm going to have to comment on my mental state. And I'm like, yeah, you do. Yeah, no. Everyone.
Well, that's what my mental state is. The intro I do every week is I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. And then I have to remind myself. Yeah. So it's going great.
Yeah, that's good. So you're doing really good. You know your own name. You said it perfect.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Leah, how are you doing?
I moved last weekend, and then I had to be in the office all week. So I am living in chaos, and I actually only watched half of Dynamite because I had a brainwave in the middle of it where I was like, oh, I can solve one of my problems. And then I got up and was like reorganizing my pantry and was just listening to commentary. So I'm excited to see what I've absorbed.
Yeah. Well, me too. I watched the whole thing, but I'm also excited to see what I absorb.
So I would say this is a high quality podcast this week.
Yeah. Preemptively, I would say
preemptively.
That for sure.
This is definitely going to be one of our most incisive.
One of the best podcasts. Well, there's some interesting stuff that we have to there's some stuff we have to discuss tonight that I would say you don't have to have watched it that carefully to have an opinion. You know what I mean? And that's kind of my wheelhouse. We do have one small item of business that we're going to cover before we get into the content. So, Anne, do you want to take this away?
Yeah, so we have a little limited run merch situation where we have made some fridge magnets that just have the Tunnel Talk logo on them. We just did a little small batch run of them. They're like 2 by 2, 2 inches.
We
by
had
two
them
inches.
Made. We didn't arts and crafts them. We could have.
That's
but
true.
We did.
But
we're
we
capable
could have.
Of it. Don't worry
could
about
we?
That.
We can do. We could do any. I could do any craft.
That's
my
true.
Gay audacity.
We contracted with a service that printed them and sent them to us, and they're they're high quality.
We selected a vendor.
Exactly. We selected a vendor. We're very professional,
actually. We got a little taste of what it's like to be Tony, okay?
A lot of organizing, a lot of price setting.
Yeah, hard life for that man.
I know. Being a CEO is really, you know, it's a rough world. Yeah, but anyway, so we're going to have these available for until as long as they last. Basically, like I said, we didn't get like a ton printed because we're not a major podcast. So, I mean,
okay.
Yet.
Well, major in our not home. Yet. Where the podcast can hear it.
Because our listeners are small but mighty.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think they're going to be $4. That includes shipping to the U.S. and Canada. If you want like international shipping, we'll probably have to add something on. I don't know if we have. Well, we do get some international downloads, actually, which is very cool. But so let us know if you are. We're going to do it like through a Google form that we're going to post to our Twitter and Tumblr and have like as a pinned post. And then you can just fill it out. You'll just like put in your PayPal or your Venmo name, and we'll send you a little, you know, charge request thing, and then I'll mail it out to you. So,
and
yeah. So,
Oh, I just wanted to say that we came up with the system because we thought about how we would want to buy merch, and we said, like, we don't want to send a DM to anybody ever.
If you want to DM us, I would love to get a DM from you for sure.
We love when you guys message us. That's absolutely great. I'm a cave dweller, so I don't DM
as a
anyone.
Listener. I don't like to engage with my fake podcast friends. So,
but please,
so this
us.
Is we would love to get your messages, but also if you would like to just anonymously enter your details into a form, you can do that, and you can buy a magnet for $4 of the Tunnel Talk logo and put it right on your fridge. It'll stick right to it.
It sticks to the fridge.
Yeah,
that's how you know it's high
quality.
Don't
worry about that.
And then it's a magnet.
Yep, and it'll stick to your car. It's weatherproof. You can stick it anywhere. Website made that very clear. So
maybe I'll put it on my car.
Yeah, put it right on your car.
That'll be advertising.
She would love to have a magnet on her. My beautiful car. I spent a couple nights sleeping in the back of my car in the wilderness. I love her. She is
Did you feel very close to Darby Allin?
You know, I didn't even think of him, but I think I doubt that he had a Honda Fit, car for gays. not that he couldn't, Darby, but I didn't even think of that. I think my situation was probably more comfortable than what Darby was up to, if I had to guess. But he doesn't like comfort. So we each enjoyed what we needed.
Yeah. That sounds right.
That's good. This is okay. Well, great. So we'll have that information on our socials.
On our socials.
Should we get into the wrestling, ladies?
I suppose.
Yeah, you're right. We don't have to. We can talk about anything we want. Any other topics, top of mind?
I mean, we could just talk about vacations we've been on and like what wrestlers we felt like on vacation.
I can't believe we didn't talk about your pantry solution before we started podcasting, so we'll have to come back to it at the end.
We'll
in our
back
chit-chat
on
time. Yeah. We can share some past experiences with unconventional pantry solutions. So, yeah.
That could be a whole episode of the podcast.
Welcome to Pantry Talk.
Once we set up a Patreon, that'll be a bonus episode. Yeah. People love it.
Actually, bonus episodes are just where you get the part where we're recording before and after, but we haven't cut it for an episode, and it gets pretty fun, I'll be honest. All right, enough. We're gonna talk about Hangman was back from having COVID. He looked very healthy and handsome, which you love to see. He came out on Dynamite and he cut a response promo to Punk's promo, in which he was kind of walking that like mean like heel line, I guess, but like where he was coming on pretty aggressively. Coming on, Allie. He said he wished he could say all this stuff about how it'd be a great match and he really respects Punk, et cetera, but he's not gonna, because actually I wasn't that sure why he wasn't gonna, but he said he's gonna crush Punk. And he kind of did some smack talk on some Punk fans in the crowd, and he's going pretty hard. I will say again, maybe I missed something. I didn't like fully understand like the level of aggression, but hey, and whatever.
What'd you think? I did kind of mean to go back and watch it just because, the content got a little over me. But he got some booze, so he was like doing a good job with what he was doing, I think.
He got a great crowd response, I thought, where like there were times where people were cheering, but you could tell they were cheering a little like, well, I gotta cheer for Hangman, but are you okay, buddy? Like, are you doing
right,
okay?
Exactly.
And it's like, no, he's doing horrible. Look at him. Look at the man. He's doing very bad.
I think it's so interesting how Hangman's whole deal is that like his personality is like a little bit fragile. You know, it's like you put him under stress and like things happen. He's not sure if he's going to be able to hold together, you know, just like anything could happen, which I love in a character.
Yeah. Right. It is a very classic story for someone to work so hard to achieve something that they thought they want. And then once they get it, just be like, I can't handle it.
Have a total meltdown, actually, like my life has no meaning, and or I don't even know what he's going through right now, but I loved it.
Well, to be like, I'm worried this hasn't made me a better person, this hasn't fixed my personality. That I would say is one of the kind of the top experiences of my life that I find very relatable, is that you get something you wanted and you think, wow, still me. Still me.
Right. It's like, oh, all the same little horrible mental paths are still going around in there. And it's interesting too that I think that this is happening with Punk, because like Punk can be really mean. He hasn't been that mean to Hangman though, so it does seem like it's like a timeline thing where it's like he's had the belt for long enough now that he's sort of starting to crack under the pressure a little bit, maybe, or I don't even know. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
I agree. I feel kind of like I don't fully understand it, but yeah. I'm having fun. We did get a, we got a message from Tumblr user Adam Page. Thank you very much, about, Hangman's like growing confidence over the past year. And so how, like, when he came out to kind of start shit with Punk, cause Punk had been behind his back kind of starting shit with him, that was like a parallel to when he didn't come out to challenge Kenny. Like, there was that thing where Kenny was like, he's too chicken shit to come challenge me, and he didn't come out. And I thought that made a lot of sense. I think that maybe growing confidence is not the full story, especially because of the stuff we've just been saying, where it's like, he does have growing confidence, but other things are growing too bad in him. Molds, spores.
Well, I mean, I think part of it was like that. So he beat Kenny, which he wasn't positive that he could do. And then he beat Brian, but that was like really, really hard and miserable. And then like everything after that has just been like him being like, oh, I can do this, but am I enjoying it? And what do I have to sacrifice to keep doing it?
Yeah.
And I think like what he's been sacrificing has been his friends. And like, I think part of his aggressiveness has been like, what will I do to keep the belt? Will I like hurt other people? Will I become a heel? And I think that's sort of what's going on with him. And it's, I don't know, it's juicy, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's uncertain. You feel like you're like, I'm not sure where the arc could go, lots of places, and they'd be really different places.
Yeah,
for sure.
I also liked that even like kind of sardonically he referenced, like, because he was like, it's my responsibility as the champion to tell you that Punk's not here tonight because he's off doing something else because he doesn't care about you.
Because he's filming his TV show, which I thought was a pretty funny burn, actually.
But I liked that even in that context he referenced the idea of like there being responsibilities of being a belt holder, which I do not think that they are leaning on enough. Pretty much ever.
They really should. You know, it's kind of like, you know how like if you run for class president, then you have to plan the class reunion for the rest of your entire life. Like you're 70 years old and you're planning your 50th class reunion, like because you were an idiot who ran for class president. I do feel like it'd be great to get some of that stuff going for a belt holder.
Well, immediately I just thought about like Hangman and Thunder Rosa have to collaborate on a 4th of July party for everybody.
I would love to watch that. That would be television I'd like to see.
You know how there, Meltzer, I think, tweeted that like there's going to be an AEW reality show coming up.
Is that the one that we've been seeing the TBS that we saw all the titles for?
Yeah, the titles. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's good that Meltzer said it was a reality show, because based on the titles, I was like, it's got to be.
Yeah. I think people,
but it would be funny if it was a show that was like Hangman and Thunder Rosa planning a 4th of July party because they're the belt holders.
That's the whole plot of the first season. Yeah, that adds up. That's more than was going on in Roads to the Top. So
I know exactly. They should have been giving them weird tasks.
Cody was giving himself weird tasks.
I just picture going like when Jim and Dwight ran the party planning committee.
Yes.
It's just half inflated gray balloons. Yeah.
Oh my god. It is your birthday, right?
Yeah, no.
It's interesting. And it's interesting, I feel like we never see like past champions like saying to current champions, like, yeah, sometimes it sucks. Like maybe it's not always that fun.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Love it.
Mox could do that to Hangman. Yeah. Mox could absolutely do that.
I feel like Mox would love to tell people stuff like that, you know? Like Mox would love to pull people aside and be like, yeah, you know, having kids, like, it really
it's a lifestyle. It's a different lifestyle. Interesting. Well, we've got some ideas for you, Tony. As always, don't take him. I know you won't. CM Punk also is going to fight John Silver on Rampage, and I wasn't sure if the promo that John Silver did, very funny, was completely unrelated to being in Dark Order, being friends with Hangman, but it still is like interesting that he's fighting Hangman before Hangman is going to fight CM Punk. So I was like, I don't really know what's going on there. Let's move on easily to talking about Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. So Thunder Rosa cut a Dynamite promo about, again, a lot of the content of the promos this week kind of slipped right by me. It was something about being the best women's wrestler and being the backbone of the division. And she didn't know when she came what it was going to be, but she is a backbone and she wants to challenge worthy competitors, blah, blah, blah. I guess she has history with Serena Deeb that I don't know anything about unless I saw it. And anyways, anyway, Serena Deeb came out and they had, I think I liked it. I really know how I feel.
Yeah. When Serena Deeb came out, I was like, oh God, like this again.
I was furious.
Like, she keeps, I know. And then her energy was insane.
It was really weird.
No, I can't really,
really
remember
really weird
the contents, but there was an intensity there. I wasn't
they
expecting.
Did a thing where like Serena Deeb came out and like her vibe was very like, great point, great point. This is such a good women's division, which some don't appreciate. You and I know that. We are so strong competitors, you and I. And we can build it. We can build it further. Like, it was very Blackpool Combat Club. And then she was like, but of course, the best woman must hold the belt. And that must be me. And I was like, Serena, this is wild. But I think it is much better than what she was doing with Sheeta. So,
yeah.
Not, and sure. Like, it was like, I thought Sheeta was doing her best in that feud. And I kept being like, Serena Deeb is bringing fucking nothing to the table. She brought something here. It was pretty weird.
That's what we're all saying, that it's a way better promo when it's not just I'm trying to kill you. And so like any kind of interesting like vibe to a promo like does a lot of work, you know what I mean? Instead of just being like, oh, you've made me angry and so now I'm murderous.
And it is like sexy crazy kind of to be like, yes, we can rule heaven together, but I'll be top in heaven and you are top in heaven now, but I'll just get the belt, but then you can be my second in command. It's like, wow, babe, does that line ever work for you? But I like it, I think. I think it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did Serena Deeb have like a black eye too? I kept being like, what's going on with her makeup? But then I was like,
I don't know. Her face scares me.
Yeah.
When they show it to me, I'm just like, she's about to be so mad at me.
I know. She's got such a, I guess it's mean yoga teacher, but it's like terrifying. Yeah. I guess maybe a little bit stern vegan at the co-op energy, although in a different
way. That's so mean
to
Bryan
Danielson
to lump them together like that.
I know it is. Like, because he makes me feel like he could be disappointed in me, whereas she's like actively terrifying.
Yeah, I think I got to think about other stores I know about where I think she could work.
It's probably like some kind of athleisure company or something.
Oh, yeah. She's at Lululemon or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, Serena.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought this was good. I liked it. It seems like they're going to fight a double or nothing. That's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
Leah's like smiling at me, kind of like this fucking dummy.
No, I was going down a rabbit hole in my head and I was like, is this gonna be funny enough to say? And I didn't say it. But I was thinking about this one time I saw this. I asked this girl like at running a counter if she had a tampon and she gave me a lecture on how I should be using the Diva Cup. And I was like,
Serena Deeb. And I'm so, I don't claim that energy as a Diva Cup user. I'm like, that's so bad. But it's right.
Wow.
So when I was smiling and looking at you, that's what I was thinking about.
You could have been a Diva Cup user who just didn't have your cup with
you,
in which case you need a tampon.
Get one every time you need a new one.
Yeah, you can't just drop at whatever booth you're at. Be like, do you have any Diva Cups?
Do you have any Diva Cups? But maybe Serena Deeb would. She's like, I always travel
she
with Jen.
Would, yeah.
Which I guess that would be admirable if she was handing out free Diva Cups.
That's
that would
true. That's probably a different vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's a generous person. Yeah. That's what
maybe
a couple of like, should do if they want to be bringing a better energy to the world.
Yeah. Serena Deeb has more of an energy of like she'd purse your her lips and like tell you to free bleed. It's better to free bleed than to put toxins in there. Am I right?
Okay, I hope your friend Jeff really loves this episode.
I know. You're welcome, Jeff, and all of our other non-menstruating listeners.
These are the insights you can't get from those pods that men run. Okay,
David Meltzer will never have this conversation.
David Meltzer doesn't know what a Diva Cup is, and he's never going to learn.
Nope.
He's never going to learn. All right, let's move on. Okay, this one has quite a few parts, so just bear with me. Darby Allin Foxworth.
Heavy sigh.
Oh, I was God. Like, ooh, buddy, we're getting into it. I don't know why it's like these. I think it's good that these are intertwined plots, but they have really taxed my brain tonight.
Yeah. Whenever something has this many moving parts, I have a hard time with it, which is it's probably good for our little brains.
Yeah.
Very complicated little puzzle to work at.
I don't have a hard time when I'm watching it. Like, I don't think I get confused when I'm watching it, just when I have to decide how to present it. But we're doing great. It's fine. And you're going to hear this and be like, they are so dumb. They didn't know how to present this. Okay. Darby fought Swerve on Rampage. So this was a qualifying match for the Owen Hart tournament. And it was a good match. And he won after Ricky Starks, who was on commentary, jumped off like to try and interfere and got intercepted by Sting. But he still kind of distracted Swerve enough that Darby got the... Allie, come on. What did you write here? But he got the pin, whatever kind of pin it was. Whatever kind of pin it was. I remember seeing it, but he got the pin.
Was this the time when Ricky Starks ran down there and then he was kind of like acting like he was going to take his shirt off maybe?
Yeah.
And Sting was
yeah,
just like staring him down.
Yeah, seduction campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slut vibes. Mm. But anyway, so then, so Darby won. And Swerve did, I thought, really good face acting of just like, what the literal fuck? But like... I thought it was good because he didn't do that bug-eyed thing of like, what? Like, it was refined. It was refined.
True.
And then refined. Later in the show, we got a promo where Swerve and Darby met, and Darby was like, I didn't want to win that way. We could go another 5 minutes. Like, he basically was like, we can take it back to the mat, baby. And Swerve
like, I'll
was,
take my shirt off right now.
I would be more
Let's
than
just
happy
roll around together.
For us to grapple chest to chest again. And Swerve said it was fine. Because he knows that Darby would never do that. Darby had nothing to do with the interference. It was just more unfinished business for him and Keith Lee and Ricky and Will Hobbs. And he said he hopes Darby wins the whole tournament for the honor of the Pacific Northwest. Very funny. And then they fist bumped and then gave each other a lingering look as Darby left. I thought, wow, this is characterization. Because I don't know what's going on with you two. But I know that I like to see it. I know that I like it when I'm watching it.
They're adding a lot of complicated layers. It is the wrestling equivalent of like Meryl Streep has a secret in every role, you know, kind of thing. So.
That's right.
I said the wrestling equivalent, so we know it's dumber than that. But,
no, yeah. It is still a secret. It's like they know something that's not a secret, but we don't know it.
We don't
so
know
it's
it
a
exactly.
secret.
From the audience, yeah.
From us, but not on purpose. They're just not telling
no.
us.
They'll tell us eventually, probably.
Maybe. Or maybe not.
Commentary was also very weird about both of them being from the Pacific Northwest, and I'm not sure why. Like, I think like both JR and later Excalibur were like, yes, and these two Pacific Northwesterners are fighting. And I'm like,
it's a pretty normal like, place to be from.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Like,
they've lots never met anyone from Pacific Northwest before. Isn't Aubrey also? She's a Seattle rep.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Well, great. I liked this very much. I thought this was more sexual than we'll get to it later, but some of the stuff that David Bixenspan is on Twitter referring to as sexual.
I'll yeah. never forgive that man for what he said about Matt Jackson.
What did he say? Did I forget this? Yeah,
yeah
I
you
mean,
said...
obviously.
I remember that he said something terrible and I don't remember what it was.
Oh,
it
my
was...
God, right. He hated the look. He hated the
yes,
look.
Yes, he said
oh.
he doesn't understand.
Insane.
He doesn't understand why people give Matt Jackson credit for character nuance when he's just a big ham. And it, but like he said
That's
it
right.
derogatorily. And I'm
That's
like,
right.
he's a big ham complimentary.
The listeners don't know that I do have a special award that I like to give Matt Jackson over and over again. And it's the Damon Salvatore award for hammy boys. If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a perfect face, perfect ham. You're right. But David Bickenspan is insane. You just kind of have to accept it, and then you see things he says, and you're just like, wow, crazier than ever.
I love following him. He just always, yeah, he's like retweeting like Hook Danhausen like romantic fan videos. Like, good for him, you know? He's living life out loud.
Don't you feel like it's like he just doesn't understand a lot of
yeah.
what's going on? They burned David Bixenspan on their pod. Okay. Okay. And then also on Rampage, Keith Lee fought Colton Gunn and, according to the recap, powerfully mauled him. Loved that. Then later in the ep, we got a promo with the Gunn Club that got interrupted by the Acclaimed, who were like, when we all team up, we never lose. And then they said, do you want to scissor with the Acclaimed? Austin and Colton immediately, like, they didn't even have to think about it. One of them just goes, "We've got to go talk to Daddy. We have to go talk to Daddy about this."
The way the gun club has now embraced this, like, "We're daddy sweet boys," like, vibe is so funny. So it's funny. Like, they're doing amazing work.
No.
And it's so right for the four of them to team up because they are the four most repulsive people in this company.
They're just out here being so gross. Like, the fact that now the Acclaimed is just saying, "Do you want a scissor with us?" Like, as just like a thing they're doing, like, scissors on Max Caster's.
Listen, Tony allowing them to do that on camera has solved all of his other HR problems.
Yeah.
He said it.
I do feel
time.
Like they sat down and made a deal, and he was like, "You can scissor if you stop with the rest of it." And he was like, "Deal." And
I don't think that Tony initiated that conversation, actually. I think that Max Caster showed up and was like, "You have to give me something. I need an outlet for my perversions. If it's the rap, so be it. But there must be a place where I am free to be myself."
What if he came in with, like, more than he was hoping to get because he knew he'd get bargained down? So he was like, "I need the scissoring. I need the humping. I need the, like, sucking on someone's hand when I'm done." And Tony was like, "Okay, just the scissoring. God, fine."
Well, Tony knows how heavy the head that wears the crown truly is.
Yeah.
And then we got a Dynamite promo where the Guns came back to the table. They gave the Acclaimed some gifts.
They said,
the gifts.
"We talked to Papa."
We talked
to
Papa. We talked to Papa Gun. And gave them the gifts, and the gifts were scissors, so that's kind of a ceremonial betrothal gift. And then they all scissored. And Max Caster tried to scissor with the scissors, and they had to be like, "No, not with the real scissors, only the.
And Billy Gunn came in, and what did he say? He was like, "Get in here, boys," with his
time to scissor. Something like that.
It was, I mean, the amount of glee these men were finding, the delight that they had in scissoring each other.
I loved it. You know, I simply loved
no
it.
Notes.
I do have no notes. You're right. And I think, like, where is this going? I don't fucking know. What is going to come of this? I do not know. I don't care. I hope you scissor forever.
I do love that there's just some storylines that are just allowed to get so weird. Dynamite,
right,
so
like
good.
Especially it's like, well, I guess it could turn out to be, but when, like, stuff that Tony clearly is like, "Well, that's not, like, plot relevant, that's, like, kind of like your thing you're gonna be doing."
He just sort of, like, lets the Dark Order do what they do and be Acclaimed, and it's like, that's fine.
It is just great, though, because I was thinking during this promo, I was like, wow, we've got so many rats in the tag team division. Rats complimentary. So many rats in the kitchen. To get four of those rats together and just like they're having the time of their lives, good. It's just good.
Love it.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Can't think of anything.
I know. I'm so tired. I mean, I'm so happy. I tired myself out with my joy. Okay. Yeah. So this was big for the pod. So Leah's number one pathetic man, Jeff Hardy, fought my number one carnival barker, Bobby Fish, in yet another Owen Hart qualifying match. I would say nothing about this match was not funny. Thoughts?
It was like,
it's hard to disagree with.
A time traveler from the 40s came and wrestled a man who time traveled from the 80s.
Yeah. I thought you were just going to say time traveled from the furry convention in Rochester, New York. But yeah, that, the 80s works too.
Okay, a furry convention from the 80s.
Again, in Rochester, New York.
One of those very classic, like, club drug / furry conventions.
Of but the 80s. Yeah, like, we all know them.
Don't you feel like furries, like, aren't you, like, now in 2022, you're like, oh, they're kind of like upstanding internet citizens? Am I wrong about this perception of furries?
No.
Where I'm just like, we all are just like, yeah, they just kind of do their own freak thing. We have nothing to do with it.
It's true.
But you
they
can always trust
so much
a
more
furry.
Harmless.
The thing
much
is that
more harmless than they used to. Yeah.
I have read so many posts about NFTs, like bringing NFTs down, being like, the reason why you know that NFTs aren't a good thing is because the furries aren't invested. If the furries the furries are our number one art supporters, and if they are not into it, then it's not worth it.
Yes, they're paying
not a money. Terrible point. Yeah,
they're paying the money for the art. I think that's where it comes from in my brain. Mm. There was a Tumblr post that was like, "Furries pay," and that's how you know they're trustworthy, because they understand the worth of art.
They're not out there stealing furry art.
No, they know
when they want the
want.
538 fox like in a sexual position. They pay for that.
Yes.
I'm sure
they pay. Yeah, it's cold hard American cash.
Right, they're like Renaissance patrons. Like, they are out there.
That's right. They know they have a niche interest. They're not going to get it fulfilled without putting money down. So they have to, you know, create a Renaissance court.
Anyway,
I'm glad that we've just spent a long time talking about how great furries are, because I think it really puts us above suspicion.
Again, David Meltzer is not going to talk about this.
You'll never hear this on The Observer, okay? You'll never hear this kind of commentary. And in fact, I don't think we've even explained why we're talking about this. It's because... No. Jeff Hardy looked like a furry. He looked like he had a tail.
He had a cow tail.
Yeah. What was it really? It was like some piece of cloth. It was like a very
a tail.
Thin cape.
What is a piece like a of tail. Cloth on your bum if not a tail?
Someone really should ask him. I wish the backstage interviews were hitting a little harder.
They're not hitting
He was
hard
wearing
at
bright
all.
Pink face paint too. Just hot pink.
And that hot pink shirt.
Terrible.
And then those,
yeah.
What are they? Are like parachute pants? Is that what you call them? That old
so.
Chestnut?
It's in the realm of a parachute pant for sure.
isn't the first time he's done it, but it looked especially crazier that he has like the line that goes down his face and the face paint that perfectly matches the line in his shirt. He's committed to a bit. I just don't understand what it is.
No, we don't. And I think the bit may just be his personality. Sometimes when someone is really committed to a bit, that's just who they are, and you're kind of reframing it for yourself to make it okay. And I'm not saying anything against that. I think that's a very important thing that the brain does.
That's true. Like, have you ever
applaud to party?
Have you ever like met up with someone from your high school that you haven't seen in a long time, and you're like, you kind of thought they would have grown out of some things, but they haven't? Like,
that's it turns intrinsic out that's just to who they were the whole time. Yeah,
and you're like, I guess that makes sense, actually.
Well, I don't know why I expected. It's dead dog do not eat.
Right.
I don't know what I expected.
Yeah, well, you're still like this. All right.
I love Jeff Hardy. I did think he was going to win because Jeff Hardy is, I think, a bigger deal than Bobby Fish. And he did win. Adam Cole was on commentary. He was great on commentary. I thought he did a really good job. And he was rip shit.
When they did close-ups on his face afterwards and he was just staring with like clenched teeth, it was really good.
You know, you
got
to give
it
to Adam Cole. I think it is one of the best things that he does in his character is to have the one side of him that's like, guys, it's great. We're a team. Everything's good. I'm positive. I'm a cheerleader. And then you catch the moments where he just is losing his mind with rage and can't control it or suppress it. That is beautiful characterization. Very good work, Adam.
Do you know... Do you guys remember the mayor in The Nightmare Before Christmas who has the cheerful face? And then sometimes he gets mad and his face turns around and the mad face comes up.
Only very vaguely. But I like that we're in the Hot Topic zone with Nightmare Before Christmas, where we live in this particular.
That's right.
Great.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. So then... So Sting and Darby were watching in the rafters, mm-hmm. which where I love to see them. And then after Bobby Fish lost, Kyle had been ringside, of course, keeping an eye on things. The Bucks then came out and were having, like, they had, like, kind of a standoff with the Hardys, but it was a little, like, you don't know quite what's going on. And the Hardys have been, like, doing this thing on BTE where they're, like, you guys need to buck up, basically.
Yeah. Being like, there's going to be a match someday, and we want it to be the best possible one, and you guys are garbage right now.
Yeah, which they needed to hear. I think it's really good that someone is pushing them in a way that they are responding to. So then they had a thing with the Bucks, but then the Bucks were just like kind of helping with Bob. I'm like, Bobby didn't need help. He didn't get hurt that bad or anything. But then I'm doing a really bad job. But the other thing here was that on Rampage, we also had a promo with the Elite where Adam Cole was being like, everything's great with the Elite. We're doing great. And the Young Bucks energy levels in this promo, they are they're cooking something on their secret burners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they were suddenly like very enthused to be like part of the group, and they were back to their sort of more exuberant looks, and it was very like, oh, they've made a decision and they're executing a plan now.
And like, anytime that Nick especially gets that like busy in a promo, it's like, oh, shit's gonna go down.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I love that they could like, if it was another group, I might just be like, oh, great. Like, Dante has once again dropped a storyline.
Yeah.
But with them, it's like, oh, no, absolutely. They've turned
something's
on them
coming
in their head.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were being like, Bobby Fish kept like making jokes and like looking at Matt and Nick and being like, very good joke. And even Matt is just being like, that's so funny, Bobby. And it's like, ooh, snake in the grass. Scorpion mad. Scorpion so mad inside, but Scorpion hiding it. Mm-hmm. Which it's like Scorpion hiding it is like not hiding it at all. It's like, Bobby, wake up. Guys, please. Pay attention.
You might not be that smart.
Can we also briefly sidebar that like when Matt and Nick came out, Adam Cole said so approvingly, the Bucks are always well-dressed. And Nick was wearing like a romp him that was so short.
It was covered in, wasn't it covered in? Was this when he came out on Dynamite?
And Dynamite, it was like, okay, yeah. Wasn't it like an ocean where it was like this, the shore was on his legs and it was like the sky was on his shoulders? Like, it was insane. It was fully insane. It was just cracked me up watching them saunter down the ramp looking bonkers and Adam Cole being like, always well dressed.
You know, beautiful. For his many faults, and he is not a good boyfriend, we know that, but he is in his own way just as wormed about the Bucks as we are. Yeah. And it is roiling worms in there. Dangerous worms.
Dangerous worms. Our worms would never hurt anyone, but Adam Cole's worms.
Our safe little worms.
Those are more snakes in there.
I think Adam Cole's worms are like in his ear, like whispering things like, kill everybody, Bucks all to yourself. Great. Well, I'm very interested in, does anyone have any, do you think you know what's going on with the Bucks, or you're just waiting to find out?
I mean, the most obvious theory would be that Kenny is going to come back at the New Japan at the New Japan show. Don't you think that
Kenny, the New Japan show is
come to mommy, Kenny. Kenny, come home. Kenny, come home.
Allie's doing amazing. Not concerned at all.
Kenny's so bad. I need Kenny back. I need Kenny. I need Kenny. I need him.
I know. People are not doing well without Kenny
no.
there. So
I need him to come make it all so much worse.
Yeah. And I know he will.
I know he will.
Can count
so,
on
but
that.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I mean, it could be for the New Japan. Like, I think that it's within the realm of his injury timeline. Maybe not. But if the Bucks are cooking something secret and the New Japan show is at the end of June, it could be.
Yeah.
It would be great if they were like, we just got a call from Kenny this week. So like, yeah, Bobby, like, hey, buddy, good job. Like, we love you guys. Don't worry about it.
I think I was thinking, I don't remember what Kenny actually said about his injury timeline, but I also was like, Kenny would lie to me as soon as he'd, you know, do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not in a mean way. I don't trust a word Kenny says, because he's going to tell me a story and he'll tell any lie he has to make me enjoy that story. So, Kenny, you have no credibility in my eyes, except as a storyteller. And you have all the credibility in the world there. Mm-hmm. My beautiful boy, Kenny.
Come home to mother.
Okay, let's move on. Actually, that was a good segue to this next section. Am I right?
Was it?
Yeah. To talk about
Julia Hart. Dark Heart.
So the Sweet Valley Boys and Julia Hart had a little in-ring promo on Dynamite, and this was, I didn't watch it, but I know that they did had like a dark Elevation promo that was kind of set up for this.
It was intriguing. Brian Pillman Jr. said some very weird things, but it was very like Julia's got a darkness inside her now, and if Malachi wants her, he'll have to come get her. And it was, I think he was kind of like, Julia, like, your friend's the House of Black, like, they are vulnerable, so like, we'll keep you. And Julia, he was being very earnest, and Julia was just kind of standing next to him like rolling her eyes, which was
pretty
I think
funny.
He said, and I don't know why this stuck in my mind because it was so weird. He was like, now that we know the House of Black can bleed. And it was like, you didn't know they could bleed before?
But actually, that's such good characterization for those stupid boys to be like, oh my God, other people can bleed? The dumbest men in the world. Complimentary.
Blood magic with Malachi to save Julia's soul, I guess.
This plotline is quite interesting because I do feel like I'm missing where I'm like, okay, so you know that like Malachi like wants Julia. I don't know that I knew that, but I'm happy for us to go down this road. And he did seem to be right because so Ryan Pilming
what is kind of interesting because like Malachi has gooed many people. They usually heal up in a week or two. But I think maybe it's that like Julia had a little darkness, a Malachi kinship inside her that let the goo take root, you know?
I'm going to say something that I don't think anyone's going to like, but it is because of what was happening on TBS before and after Dynamite this week. It's a little bit of a Raylo vibe. It's not.
You're
not
right. I
Raylo.
Hate it.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
No, it's
it.
Like if Rey and Darth Vader had a
that's
thing,
hot.
I know, exactly. See, I took your thing and I made it better.
Okay, well, I was just look, don't take it out on me that I reported where it's coming from in the culture, okay?
I mean,
I'm a victim of this as much as you.
We're all
I don't
a victim
like it here any more than you do.
Rey, Kylo Ren, shippers.
It's yeah. I'm sorry, but I think they're doing a little bit of a Raylo thing. Oh, your darkness is in me now and I see you in my dreams and when we touch, I tremble. Whatever. Okay.
Star Wars does have a lot to answer for.
Yeah. Pretty much all the crimes of our modern society get laid at its feet. Okay. So Brian Pilming Jr. did a very funny... The man's unhinged. I love it. He did talks and he did like try to cry at one point. I was just like, oh, you're so perfect and so stupid. And anyway, he was like, we're not going to give up on Julia. And if Malachi wants her, he can come and get her. And then all the lights go out. Malachi's like, easily. I am happy for So House of Black came to the ring. Malachi and Julia had a little standoff where it's like he's looking intently at her. She's trembling. And then he was kind of leading her around. The other buddy and what's his face, Bronk, have beaten up the boys. And so
I think you said the other buddy. Buddy that's right. I think that's how we should refer to
double buddies.
The other buddy.
So Malachi led Julia around and gave her the tool of evil, a chair. I appreciate they know, don't chair people. It's bad. It's bad boy behavior.
Look what it's done to Sean Spears. The chair gets inside you.
The chair, you're right. It's not just evil. It's like insanity. It takes you to kind of a Joker Riddler place. And so she was like, he's being like, hit them, hit your friends. I'm Kylo Ren, hit them. And she said, no, I'm good. And then, Death Triangle came out, and so we didn't get to find out what choice she made. What would you think?
I liked it a lot. I love that the storyline is like moving forward. I'm not 100% sure where it's going, but I do feel like, I mean, I'm gonna be really upset if it doesn't end with Julia part of the House of Black, or at least
she has
doing
to
something else
absolutely
evil.
If she doesn't turn heel, it'll be crazy.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't become aligned with the House of Black faction, it'll also be crazy.
Yeah it's crazy.
Like, if this was a step on her road, then I'm very happy about it. I think it was a good choice, but exactly. I saw so many people reacting as if she had rejected her
heel
turn. That's
crazy.
And I was like, absolutely if crazy. That's what we were supposed to get out of it, that will make me so angry.
Yeah I think that, so I'm sorry, it's just my opinion. Julia Hart is a pretty bad actress. She doesn't do a great job, but I love the storyline and I love her and I give her all the grace that I give Jungle Boy. I say, keep working on her because I'm here for you. I'm your biggest fan.
Exactly.
So she's not a good actress. That is not how I read the end of that promo, of the whole thing at all. I absolutely wasn't like, yeah, she rejected it because she still just has goo eye. And Malachi like revealed her goo eye and she was like hiding her shameful goo eye. Like, it's just like, she's not fine and she's not gonna be fine. She's gonna be evil.
Yeah, she can't just reject the heel turn by like making the choice, because they're gonna have to do something about the corruption in her face, which I like really wish we had gotten to see. I mean, I guess this is sort of good storytelling because it's like I really wanted to see what was under the eye patch and if her eye looked like Malachi's, you know, with the crazy blue and stuff.
Yeah.
And I assume hopefully eventually they will show it to us, but it really did intrigue me. So, yeah. And really her joining the House of Black would make House of Black so much more interesting because they've been doing very boring for quite a while.
I'd love to hear her say some stuff. She doesn't get to talk very much, almost never.
I know. Even when Toni Storm is out there giving her promos.
Well, Toni Storm doesn't get to talk anymore either.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and Malachi, I'm so sorry. I really like Malachi. You know that. But I don't hear a word he says anymore. It's like he starts in his, he should be on an app to put me to sleep with his soothing, with his beautiful, soothing stories about his pagan rituals.
I feel like he could have a side job like writing co-star updates.
You know? My God, absolutely. Like, absolute and he would do nonsense. A better job than co-star because co-star is fucking asshole. Like, I don't know why I'm looking. I'm like, what? I got one.
Yeah, what did they say to you lately?
What? Whoa, yeah. What did they say? You know what, Anne? What did they say to me recently? Let's find out. Your heart is a compass. Do not be ashamed of your life. In order to change, you need critical self-esteem. Eat shit.
Critical self-esteem.
Oh, this one. I was like, this is
not a kind thing to say to someone.
This is the best thing CoStar has ever said to me. Oh, but also it's stolen. Life finds a way. Thanks, CoStar. And then this one.
Life finds a way.
It's like Jurassic Park. Yeah. And then they said, but life might find a way. But they also said, you are capable of a different life. CoStar is an absolute bitch.
You too could break your chains and eat a bunch of people at an amusement park.
I'll keep that in mind. Okay, let's move on to something equally freaky and sexual. Danhausen and Hook had their match on Rampage. Danhausen came out. I loved this. We're not seeing this enough. He came out with his little microphone, just chatting. Beautiful energy. Loved it. Mm-hmm. And he was really feeling himself and being like, come out and fight me now, Hook. And then Hook came out to the ring. Danhausen immediately thought, I've made a huge mistake. Made a huge fucking mistake. I can't fight Hook.
They backed down immediately.
Immediately.
Actually, maybe like, another day.
Yeah, it was like, maybe not. Hook took the mic. We never hear Hook talk, as you know. Said, we're fighting today. No, now. Ooh.
Danhausen doing some great terrified face acting.
Terrified but horny.
Yeah. Scared and horny for sure. Then Mark Sterling came out, distracted them both so that Toni Nese, who exists, could sneak up and attack both of them. But then Hook, so powerful and young and strong, that he yeeted Toni Nese over his head and Toni Nese scrammed. And Danhausen was cursing Toni Nese and Mark Sterling, but they weren't really scared of Danhausen. They were scared with Hook, who was right behind him. And then they left. And then Danhausen was like, we did pretty good, didn't we? And touched Hook's little chest. And Hook slapped his hand away and left.
That is the second time you've done a Danhausen voice and you inexplicably made him Scottish.
No, I didn't mean it. We did pretty good, didn't we? I got Scottish. It's freak. Freaks in. It's freaks in.
Oh my God.
I loved it.
Well, ladies.
If I showed you three pictures of three men and told you that one of them was Toni Nese, would you be able to figure out which one?
Well, is he wearing a shirt? Lineup.
Is he wearing his own chest?
I know
she wants to know if these are naked pictures.
I know
or
he's
just
covered
like
in muscles.
Headshot.
Like I recognize his muscles because I'm like they're too pumped up.
They do have that like saran wrap bodybuilder steroid quality to them.
So you would recognize his body.
I think I might recognize his face. I think I would. I would recognize him before I recognized the other person I said I wouldn't recognize. Paige Van Zandt.
See, I have never. Oh. Every time Toni Nese comes out, I'm like, oh God, it's another new man.
I love that. And in a way, he is.
Yeah. Eternally young.
Why is he attacking these two? I, like, did not understand it
at
all.
He's Mark Sterling's client now?
Yeah. And it's actually, like, it actually was, we liked the promo when it started because he came out and he was like, I don't understand why I've been giving promos and I've been fighting Sammy Guevara and nobody thought that was cool. And Hook came out and everybody thinks Hook's cool. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
I have to say.
So then he's just against Hook.
Yeah, totally. And I actually have no complaints about it, and I had no complaints about him in this promo. Yeah. I mean, match, you know, in what the skit segment? That we watched. The segment. The skit. Yeah, segment. Skit. Hey, Leah, the segment. Yes. I had no complaints. I actually loved it. He was just a vehicle that was delivering, as the crowd said, Hookhausen to me. Just a cracker for the cheese of Hookhausen.
We all appreciate that. You need a cheese delivery system. You know, it's important.
Absolutely.
So. And I think we all learned a little something about ourselves through Hookhausen.
So. Yeah. I learned that as I was going into the promo, because I watched this late because I was sleeping in my car when it aired. Sure. I thought, I'm not going to be like everyone else on the internet, my friends that I know who got like really worked up about this, because Danhausen has
On its face, it doesn't seem like it should be something.
No,
any
because
of, us
of
would
his
be interested
face
in.
Paint. Because yeah. of the face mm-hmm. paint, you think that's yeah. not that won't be me. But then I watched it and I said, "Bah, sheep. I'm just a little sheep." Yes, bah. I love it.
It's entirely because Danhausen, with his face, managed to convey, "Oh my God, I'm going to go to jail."
That's the thing that made it work.
True. Yeah, it is true. It is funny though, because like I also watched it the next day, I think, and I had a similar. I was like, oh, I'll probably like it, but they do seem like a little overly worked up. Like, but it like does kind of make. It's like I thought that everyone else on the internet maybe was pro Danhausen's sexy face paint. You know, like I'm the only holdout. But yeah. No, I wasn't.
No, and it's like kind of in spite of the face paint. I want to be clear. It's like the face paint. Oh, yeah. Is not. That's not it.
It's not like the situation with Leah and Jeff Hardy's face paint. Where it's a
that's
pro.
The pro. Danhausen
that's,
is not a
that's
pathetic
my business.
Man. He is a perfect little gremlin. And he deserves love just like anybody else.
Yeah, he deserves to be afraid of going to jail.
I hope that he, don't we all? I hope that he is now is like, Hook is my friend and is just following Hook around. Like, Hook will protect me from anything.
Hook curse beautiful Hook's muscles, enemies.
Beautiful hair and face. Great. Loved it. We're all worked up. And then we also were worked up about, we saw Jade again. We don't have that much to say about this, but she did look really good this week on Dynamite. And she, on Rampage, she, Red Velvet, and Kiera Hogan had their trios match against Sky Blue, Trisha Dora, and Willow Nightingale, which I think was the first time that we saw like Jade in action with her kind of baddies backups, right?
Yeah. That was a very comic book match, you know? Like it was just felt like they were all very comic book persona, and I just liked the way all of them played off each other. It was a very good, fun match.
Yeah.
I know. Their entrance was really fun too, the Jade and Red Velvet and Kiera Hogan, because the two of them are really short and Jade is really tall, and they were like flanking her, and it was very dramatic looking. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought.
And they had like fans made of money. It was great.
You know, they're leaning into it. I think that is the right thing to do. They look good. They're all. I think they are like. It's helpful for Jade to have people to play off in promos.
Yes, really good.
And yes, and Mark Sterling. I don't think Mark Sterling did like a bad job, but like she needed something new.
Yeah, it didn't. I don't think it made sense for her character. Like Mark Sterling, he was fine, but it was kind of like two different universe. Like she needs a baddie section. Like that's Jade's jam.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think she and Red Velvet are much better friends than they were enemies. Like you can genuinely see them hanging out.
Yeah. So they should have set it up better, but we like watching it. And again, Jade looked really good on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we've got two Ring of Honor matches that we saw. So, but someone correct me if I'm wrong about these being Ring of Honor matches. I'm right.
Yeah,
I'm right.
Absolutely right. Good job.
I'm absolutely right. So, beautiful Trent Gregg Beretta fought Samoa Joe on Rampage for the Ring of Honor belt, whatever. And it seems like it was a slobber knocker. I'm a little behind it and watch it. But I did watch the promo material around it, which is what's important.
Yeah. For this podcast, yeah.
Yeah. So Greg lost. And then the crew of ROH men that we're seeing all the time with Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, and man whose name I still have not learned, came out. Satnam Singh and Orange Cassidy had a very funny little comedy big boy small boy standoff where it seemed so large,
like so big,
so,
so
little,
small.
And it went. They even had like OC was standing a little bit down the ramp.
Yeah, they made it exaggerated.
Yeah,
they made it as big as they could, like with the ramp. I was like, being
that was beautiful. That was good. That was good work. And it was
OC was just right at his belly button level.
And it was very funny when it's like he was coming down and OC like held. Greg and Chuck Taylor back and was like, no, let me handle this. And you got to see Chuck Taylor's little face of like, okay, buddy.
Did you see that Orange Cassidy posted a picture to Instagram and he tagged it man to man, man to stomach?
I think he said something like man to tummy even.
Man to tummy, maybe.
Okay, I got to talk to you about that, Missy. Yeah, but I enjoyed that very much. Any other thoughts?
It was good jokes.
It was good laughs. It was banter. It was a little banter.
Yeah. These ROH guys who keep coming out, they are not making much. I have a real hard time following whatever they're doing, and they have not drawn my interest yet. But
I don't. You know. I feel like they've been out there with so many men that I'm like, what men do you have the beef with?
Timely, topical, well done.
And then we also had a women's Ring of Honor belt match, so that was. Brass City Bitch Mercedes Martinez versus Deonna Purrazzo. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I hope. So this is the Dynamite main event, which I thought was great. I think very, very cool, Tony. I think sometimes maybe even our AEW women could have the main event sometimes. But this was good, too. And it was a good match. There wasn't a ton of like plot build to it. Mercedes got a promo on Rampage, but it was an ROH match. So, but it was very hot and fun.
Yeah. I think Deonna has like a great personality. Like she comes out there in her little like lady of the manor kind of like energy. I don't know. When I went to the Impact pay-per-view, she wrestled and I thought she was great. So it was really fun to see her again.
Yeah. And I loved Leah said that she's Britt's IRL best friend and that made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're always taking Instagram stories together. Those two and Chelsea Green. And I just like that they have like a little wrestling crew and
so
they're like
sweet
real friends.
So sweet. That's great. Yeah. And it was very fun. They both felt like a very like tough and cool women's match. Like I don't know, their energy is just very like not trying to be sexy, even though they're both hunks, obviously.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Us.
It just
that's
felt good. Is for us exactly. Like they're not out there caring about male opinions, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought they looked great. Very fun. Again, without there being any story for me to access, I'm an idiot, so I don't have a lot to say. I just liked watching it. Do you guys have anything from this little ongoing storyline section that you want to zoom in on before we wrap up?
Can we just incredibly quickly say that William Regal saying that he loves to watch Jon Moxley get thrown around by large men was one of those moments where I was like, this is what being represented on television is.
And it's actually so important.
Yeah. To really feel seen at that moment. And basically almost everything that William Regal says, just
pretty much. And he's doing it every week. He comes out there and he's like, ladies, I'm here for you. And I'm going to say things that you didn't think you'd ever hear a man say.
Jim Ross would never say this, but I'll say it.
Jim Ross would say it like by accident. And you're like, that's not what he meant. But William Regal means it because he said it like 7 times now. He's like, you know what I like? I have my boys, of course. When I see my boys get thrown around by other big, beefy boys, that's just what I like. Tony, how about you? Then he flirts with Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You really can't beat it. It's so good.
All anybody should be doing on commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then for other things, just the Wardlow storyline is still going amazing and it's really amping up and I'm very psyched for it. It was great this week.
Yeah, we got a little. So this week, Wardlow beat very tall Viking man from Impact that we don't know. And then he beat up a bunch of security guards who came to re-handcuff him and was like, you must break my contract to MJF, who was looking so mad, doing great face acting. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was chanting, Wardlow's going to kill you, which I love.
And MJF said, you want to get your hands on me and then get your release?
Yes, he did. I fully forgot that happened.
Wow.
And that when I heard it, I was just like,
wow, we all heard that.
People are saying all the time, people are saying things on wrestling. And William Regal is having an impact, I guess.
He's like, you know, boys, you can say whatever you feel. Whatever you feel, whatever you want. Okay. Just say it.
I've never been happier than thinking about William Regal being like, some of you are a little too repressed. Just get out there and say what comes into your mouth, out of your heart, or wherever
behind him,
in your body.
Behind him, you just see Max Caster dancing, being like, yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. So there's going to be the next thing that's going to happen. They're going to have a contract signing, which I didn't understand, but that's fine. I don't care. I know there'll be a table involved and I'm going to love that. And Sean Spears seemed a little worried about MJF and Wardlow fighting.
Yeah, he should be.
Oh yeah, because that's, I don't think I didn't say that. That MJF was like, you want to, oh, you know, you said it. You want to put your hands on me and get your release.
Yeah.
You want to lay your hands on me. So fucking crazy. This is, wrestling is the greatest thing on earth. Wrestling is so important.
Have people heard about what goes on these shows?
They literally haven't. They don't know.
I know. They fully, yeah.
Wrestling changed my life, and it can change yours. Oh my gosh. That's it. That's all we got, right?
That's it.
I think so.
Yeah. Again, so we'll tweet about our magnets. You can put those on your fridge. They're magnetic. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. You always send us the greatest and funnest stuff, so please feel free to reach out. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next time.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.